Yeah, so we're holding by the last piece over here. And he says, finally, Bov Amma Bachavak Vemidan Achas, I think. Shnema Vitzadik Bemenosa Yichya. Vidovaze. So the final Chavaku comes and he says, Vitzadik Bemenosa Yichya. Vidovaze. Ki inyan hai maimin Shahu Moisa Atzel Yisbarach Uboteach Boy Ve Enei Sormen Hashem Yisbarach Klala Shum Tzad. So the inyan of a maimin is that he's totally Boteach Nakadosh Baruch Hu. Ki zehu inyan hai muna Shadovak Boy Yisbarach Ligamri. Or the figure Chesha Dveikus was Bachad Emuna. So Emuna is a certain Dveikus, and therefore that gives him the Dveikus. Kash Oda Maim Boy Sparach Bacholiboy, but Dovak Boy Sparach Vein Sarmi Itoy. The Dovaze Gam Ken Shlemus Gomo, Kikola Mitzvah Shel Odom Dveikus Boy Sparach, or the Kach Omer Shemidon Al Achas. Or Dvorim Elish Lahovin Meoid Kim Dvorim Amukim Mashama Bodovit Vamilion Aleph Daf. Let's hold that a second. So he says over here in Inyan about Amuna, which he says Amuna is an extraordinary Inyan of Dveikus, and that's how it works. I'd like a little bit to talk a little bit about this point, because this point is really a very chashuv point, and it in going through the entire piece that he said, this is a very different approach to the way in which it's helping the person. When there are two ways, two mahalchim, of a person being like Hashem, being close to Hashem, and so on. There's a type of mahalach where a person is ke'elokim, where a person is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Adam is created b'tzelem elokim, and therefore he is... he is like him, and people that are like and similar to each other are close to each other because of that similarity. Like we've spoken many times, if a person who has a very artistic bent feels naturally close to people that share that same type of artistic sensitivity, etc. That's the mahalach in all the mitzvahs, where a person becomes more and more tzelem elokim, and therefore the person becomes automatically closer and dovek HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he's more and more like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What it requires is that the person be on a high darga, that the person be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on. There's another mahalach. When it says about bitochen, it says bitchu ba'ashem. The bitochen is always called ba'ashem. That means that the person is seeing his self and his own metzias as a hemshel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Normally, we think of bitachon as relying on somebody. I trust that you're going to be there when I ask you to be there. So that type of bitachon is sort of relying externally. There's another type of bitachon where a person feels, a child to a parent, a young child, a gomel, a yonik, alimo, the sense of really, I'm sort of an extension of my parents, and as long as my parents are there, then I'm good. That reliance is a sense of his batlus, of the yachid, to the Shoresh, and that makes it sort of starts with the Dveikus. If the person deheres himself as part and parcel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's automatic. If we want to translate this to the language of the middos that we spoke about, in a sense, it's Midas Malchus. The just like Ishto is Kigufo, and an Isha is the Baal is Chayev in Sherexus Voina, and so on. By the fact that she's an extension of his, the fact that she's Kigufo, that means that the person. So if the person stells Tzu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's automatic that he is going to be of that he's going to be Dovik Nakadosh Baruch Hu, because that's actually what he's doing. That's his very mahus. So we have in a sense two choices in how to, in the big picture, in how one becomes close to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, or two pictures, how it is that we are, that Torah brings us to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. One is our self, it becomes nobler and better and so on and so forth, to a degree where we're kasha to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. We're kasha in the sense that like stick alike and so on, and therefore it's becoming more and more ke'elokim gives us that. And then there's a second mahalach where it's because we are be'etzem deher ourselves as a Kaddish Baruch Hu's vehicle into this world. And our mitzias is to be Dovuk in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and pass it on further, that we are Dovuk HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the second mahalach for it. So yes.
The Malchus is because the Prat in the Melucha is really part of the Melech.
Exactly. Even though in Mahus the Malchus is Nekeva and is the opposite, but it's, since it's the opposite, that's part of it, that's mashlimit, it's part of it by default. The Maral has a place where he speaks about he sort of clears a hakira, let's put it. Do birds of a feather flock together, or do opposites attract? And his conclusion is that birds of a feather flock together. So the big kash is, well, what about marriage? A wife simply by being a nekeva is the opposite of a man. There's no two ways about it. To which he answers that if there is if it is dovuk, if it's mashlim, then it sticks together. So let's give an example. Let's say if a person has he's opened up a business, and this person is a very, very entrepreneur type person. He's got great new ideas and fantastic vision and so on. The people that he's going to attract to work with him are going to be similar. But he's going to make a cheshem and say, listen, I'm great for these new ideas and fantastic innovations and stuff like that, but I need somebody to actually keep track of what's happening, what gets sold, what gets bought, where things are going, and so on and so forth. And you'll bring in a person who is going to be very, very different than you. You're going to bring in a nuts and bolt person who has his, sort of nose to the grindstone and sees all the details and is a detailed person, etc., etc. Usually extremely different than you. But that's going to be a pretty unbreakable bond, because you know that you need a person like that to make a business. You can't have just a business with great, fantastic new ideas and innovations. You need to have somebody with a little bit of, down-to-earthness. So the very fact that it's mashlim gives it a dveikus that is not easily seen any other place. So this pchinas malchus, one can put all kolatari kula, a description of making ourselves a kli ki with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in which case emuna is the foremost expression of it. And that's why tzadik b'emuna seyichya is, that's the hemidon al achas. If you want to, the achas versus the echod. If you're an achas, then you are... then you are linked to the Echad no matter what. Okay, so he says, so that's where Emunah comes in. Udvarim elish lahav me'oid, kein dvarim amukim ha'shama b'dav v'zamik, Yud Aleph dafke, v'zamis be'du en yonai. We have Yud Aleph is one, Mispah Shisha 6, Mispah Shalosh, Shnai, Mispah Echod, Akol Mesudim Reg Saturim Mala, and Munish Bechrona. So he says over here, well, all numbers here are very, very dafka. So we spoke about significance of one, as we just spoke, significance of two, we spoke about the two main kavim of Chesed and Din. Three, we spoke Chesed, Din, and Rachmim. Six, we said, is the three midas of expression and tactic, so to speak, versus the three midas of essence. So fine, that's good. Yud Aleph is a little tougher. What exactly is Yud Aleph? I mean, even the poor, the Balagada, who needed to find something for Yud Aleph, had to come up with a Chadasa Kochavaya. Wasn't much. 11 is not a terribly... 11 is not a number that you find that often in Kisvei Kodesh and so on. I mean, here, there, and other places, it's interesting, but Al Kapanim, by the way, there's actually a sefer, a book that describes all the numbers and where they appear in the Torah. I think it's something called like Maisa Torah. I have it, actually. It's he goes through all the numbers and where you find them in the Torah. There's some like 3, which is almost a sefer in its own right. And I don't remember offhand 11s, but it's not much. The 11th month was when Moshe started giving Be'er Torah, and there are here and there. But I think the 11 is also... I mean, the thing that comes to mind is the spheres are 10, but... They're 10 because two spheres alternate as to whether or not they're counted. The sphere of Keser and the sphere of Das are usually an either or relationship. In one of the Sfarim, Sefer Tzvi starts that there are 10 spheres, not 9 and not 11. So, it means something. I mean, it doesn't mean poetic. There's 10 and not 9 nor 11. Not 9 means leaving out Malchus. It is almost assuming as if there is something which is our doing only and not a Kodesh Baruch Hu's doing. So don't say 9 spheres, but say 10. I mean, count Malchus, Spada spheres. Not 11 means the beyond needs to stand apart from the spheres. So Keser, which is really... Keser is a way of describing that which is beyond and being Mashpia. So my assumption is that it means that. Morale, I have no basis for it. I don't know. But, I mean, all the other numbers... He usually, when the point of the number is simple... then he has no problem going through it. So my gut feeling is this is what it means. Al Kapanit doesn't make all that much difference to us. So he concludes this brisa with the one, and now he says all these numbers were significant numbers. So when we see that they tried to condense the Torah in a few lines that sort of describe everything, they picked very significant numbers and they needed to find midas that would fit the amount of lines they wanted. 1, 2, 3, 6, or 11. Final, this one. Mesechta Sota. Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, it says, Pasku Anshei Emana. That when Beis HaMikdash was Charev, men of faith stopped. Mayan Anshei Emana. Amar Rabbi Yitzhak, Eilu B'Narama Amina B'Kadosh Baruch Hu. So you could have learned that Anshei Emana means trustworthy people. Rabbi Yitzhak says it's people who believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so here we have a Muna associated with Bitochen. The Ika Muna is believing a Kaddish Baruch Hu is all powerful. And therefore he believes in him. When that happens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us kefida muna. But if he doesn't believe in him, it's as if he's memayed as koch yicholtei. Excuse me one second. Kashay gia zman shu yisbar chitin atoiv. Azitin kfi mashay mamim boish. Yeah. So the level of a person's emuna and by extension bitachin is the level of which a person will receive and so on. Now I want to talk about this one a little bit. The Gemara says it, the Gadol of Balei, the Koach of Balei Emunah, that even somebody who's Maimon Bechol Debeber of an Abar and so on, I might have seen it together, the Maral, I don't remember, but it needs an explanation. What does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us Kefi the Bitachon that we have? I mean, it sounds kind of fair, you know, okay, yeah, with the Bitachon we have, but down deep, I mean, what difference does it make? There was once one of the many Goyish sects, Christian sects, in the 1800s, was a lady who managed to get a lot of people to follow her, and I forgot which of the one of many sects was, and she said that she will perform she will walk under waters, and a great crowd of her followers decided to follow her. And it was scheduled for a certain lake, and before she went in, she asked them if they all believe in that she can do it, because it only works if they all believe with total faith. They said absolutely, and she said like 100% faith, 100%, as good as if you would see me walk in. Yes. So she said, so really there's no point for me to walk in, because if it's ke'ilu that I have that ke'ilu I did it, then what's the point of walking in? I think some people lost the thread of logic at that point and became a shtickle kaifrim. But it seems kind of strange. So what's the game about? What's the point of it? So the pshat's like this. The Rambam says, Emor nevuchim, v'leinochem lehim derech eretz plishtim. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does miracles except as nogeya changing the person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's miracles might be in Teva, but he doesn't change people. And that has to be done by people. The Hesber of... when I have a Tfisa, let's give an example. If to our understanding today, the idea of there being a spaceship that can travel back and forth in time is absolutely ridiculous. So if somebody would show it to me, I wouldn't be coiled it as a possibility. I would say this is something that is supernatural. This is beyond nature. This is something, it would not come into my sense of things. I would say to myself, either it's a trick or it's something out of my realm of the hair and so on. I'm not a klee kibble for machines that go back and forth in time. Just not a klee kibble for it. I don't have anything in my mind that could possibly stretch to see that. There are some things where I might have doubts, but it's something that within the sense of the reality that I have, it might possibly be, because I consider it still within the realm of that which makes sense to me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tachlis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's giluyim are to be mizgala within the Bria, not outside of Bria, but within the Bria. And therefore, there is no point in HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Megala himself in a way that I don't have the possibility. You know, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do something which is outside of Teva is not a Gili of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was necessary at some points to do because of you know, it was needed to get Klal Yisrael into things and so on. But there's nothing there that is be'etzem needed. But when there's nothing needed, and just a question of the ultimate understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it needs to be something which is within. So a person who's a Baal Emuna means he deheres that as being within the realm of the possible. So let's say for example, I have this weak, ruddy guy who he would like to, he's doing weightlifting, or he would like to be a weightlifter, or he's going to go into a contest of weightlifting, and so he can do, so imagine him doing 100 pounds, lifting 100 pounds. I would be very, very skeptical, but it hasn't left my my tchum of the possible. And I do believe human beings can lift 100 pounds, no matter how weak they are now at present and so on, but they have it within them. So if that happens, so if this person does that, then I say to myself, okay, it's within the realm of the it didn't go out of my realm of understanding, just it's where the metzias can be stretched to. If I see him lift a ton of weight, that's something that has no makom. It doesn't help my understanding of things. It just confounds me. I mean, I haven't integrated. I haven't been able to assimilate that point. What does it mean he picked up a ton of stuff? So it just remains another reality. Not it's not within what a human being can bring out with himself and so on, but rather the same thing. A person has a sense of reality. These are the things that this is the world, and this is the stretch of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does within the world. And those things that I feel are within the stretch of things, then when I see it happen, I will have understood it. I want to point to a Gemara, fascinating Gemara, that doesn't make any sense without this understanding. The Gemara Sanhedrin says, they talk about Tchias HaMesim, Mashiach, all sorts of things growing one day, people coming alive, this, that, the other thing. The Gemara says, "Say var echo dugmason ba'olam hazeh." Go and I'll show you something similar in this world. And so what's the point? Yes, it's true that there are certain type of figs that in one day they become ripe. That is correct. But what does that have to do with believing that when Mashiach comes, baked goods are going to come in one fell swoop in this world? You know, the difference between figs, coming down and so over there, the Gemara Shabbos, for instance, speaks about the Asira Tzolcha Toitzi Gluskos or Kli Milas, that Eretz Yisrael is going to have ready-made food, and Gluskos are like rolls or pastries, and Kli Milas, all sorts of clothing. And he says, "Liglag over the Talmud," and he said, "Ein kol chodesh tachas hashemesh." They said, "Berech tukmos mal hazeh." So over there, he was answering actually a little bit the bor erech tukmos, ein kol chodesh tachas hashemesh. But the Gemara does the Gemara also the about tchias hameisim? Is there something shayach like tchias hameisim more b'mitzia? So it says over there that he says, is there something like that in this world? And he says, yes, Rabbi Chiya Bonav, they said, Masha Ruach Nashab Zika, Margash Asimitra, and they were afraid of him saying Mechai Mesim, and so on. So what's the point of all those stories? And the answer is, because something that we have a Dugmasaram Hazeh means our Kalim of Tfisa, which are Olam Hazeh Kalim at the end of the day, our mind and brains are in tune with things that we sense here, with things in this world. So if I have a dugma in this world, then I can bring in something from a different, even if it differs in detail or length and whatever it is, but it's shayach to my scope of Havana. It fits into things that I'm taifis. The purpose of Lasidlova HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing Nisim is not that we live in a kind of weird Nesticka type of Metzias. It's the Pshat as that becomes our reality. And so if a person, in as much as a person is a maimin and understands that, so then it falls under the things that he's teifis, because he dehares it as being part of the Metzias. I'll give you an example of things of that nature, a different area, but still. You know, we read about Einstein's theory being very, very difficult for people to understand, and, you know, the greatest minds struggle with the rest of it. Today, an average high school kid does it. The theory itself is not so abstruse, and people talk about it. It's in quantum physics and all this stuff. People don't, you know, struggle with it. And the answer is because since we grow up with it, it seems to be quite a normal idea. It's an idea that's been kind of shvis in this world, and we understand it's within our realm of the possible, of something that makes sense. Makes sense means that it's sort of we can inherit with our tfisa. So that's why a person's kefi, a person's emuna is. So yes, we all know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all powerful. That's sort of a statement that we ascribe to, but unless we deherit something, which is really really but our ability to picture that is within a certain frame, and the bigger that frame is, the more tshayach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should put into it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not be megala something we're not really miming in, because that would sort of remain an outside and not our yedia. Okay, and we make kach omer sefes beitza, maiki chelus Hashem u'uschem, omer kach baruch Yisrael, b'nai heminu bi v'levu alai v'ni pereya. Pirish. By the way, I need to tell over Maisa. An extraordinary Maisa that, you know, sometimes the person's reaction to a Maisa is even greater than a Maisa itself. There was a big, big tzaddik, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilber, who lived near Yerushalayim. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's put out Lishayel Yehudi. I don't remember what they call it in English. He was he was in Russia till 1970. So I assume he must have been born, I guess, around 1920s or something like that. And he was brilliant. He was a genius. He was also one of these people that are like made of other stuff, like a tzaddik. He, in Russia, was Shema Torah Mitzvahs from A to Z, learned, never was Machal Shabbos, he worked as a math teacher, and the type of devices to get out of, he davened every day, was never Machal Shabbos, and everything had to be done with all sorts of tricks and so on and so forth, and he raised a family of real, real Chashiva Bnei Torah. His son Reb Yitzchak came to the Mir in 1972, came from Russia in 1972, and through a whole long story, I don't want to go into it, how he got to the Mir. My father actually picked him up on the way to the Kaisel, but he came to Reb Chaim Shalevitz, the father with the son, and he apologized. He asked, could he please learn the Mir? He only knows five Masechtos Baal Peh, because he only had five Masechtos. And Reb Chaim started sobbing, like he was king over that somebody come from Russia in those days and know five Masechtos. The boy's father, Reb Yitzchak Zilber, thought that Reb Chaim feels bad that he only knows five Masechtos Baal Peh. Luckily, they didn't know what the average Mirabach knew. That was him. Extraordinary person. When his son, Ben Sion, his only son, he had four daughters, three or four daughters, and his only son, Ben Sion, became a chassan. He got married to Rosh Yeshiva Slabotka, of Rosenberg's daughter. At the Sheva Brachis, there was Sheva Brachis in the Yeshiva for him. The father, Yitzchak Zilber, got up to speak, And he said, I would like to share with you an article. It's in Russian, I'll translate it. And he pulled out an old yellow newspaper, an old yellowed big Russian newspaper. It had pictures, a picture of Reb Yitzchak Zilber and his wife, I think. And in Russian, the caption was, why are we silent? And he read it, and the paper basically said that there is a crazy family amongst us, husband and wife are benighted, and they raise their children with all sorts of crazy ideas, that there are certain foods you shouldn't eat, and certain clothing you shouldn't wear, and this is crazy, and why is it that we let them raise their children? Should society not take the children away and give them an enlightened education, etc., etc.? And we need to do that, as soon as possible, because it's a crime, towards the children. And Reb Yitzchak Zilber explained that these articles were never written in the interest of literary exposition. It wasn't like a journalist looking for something to write. These articles usually were followed by letters to the editor agreeing very, very strongly with the article and calling on the government to do something, and the government responding to the people's call. That's how Russia worked, very, very conscious of the people's call, and this is normal halach. So basically, when the article was written, that's where they were holding. So he read it, finished it. Then he said, I cut out and saved the article because I said to myself, Emir Tzashem, someday I'm going to be marrying off my child in Yerushalayim, and I'll be wanting to read this article to Shabbat Barichas Hashem, how we got out. He had no business Zulba. If he said it, he meant it. And to me, that was even more incredible than the story itself. To him, this was reality. Somebody asked me about the book, if it's true or not. I said it's one of the few books that's less than the person, as unbelievable as the book is, the person was more. But the sense of this was something where it was pasha to him, that was incredible. That was metzias to him. I remind myself of something else. I was actually looking through some old papers. There was a Navardika Rosh Hashiva. The last Navardika, real Navardika person was Reb Gershon Libman. Gershon Libman was a Navardika Talmud who survived the war under terrible circumstances. He opened the yeshiva in France that actually rammed all Navardika principles. Whether you like it or not, it was the only real Navardik. And somebody, when he was Niftar, he must have been Niftar about 15, 16 years ago, something like that, maybe 17 years ago. I remember him actually. He came to Tzol once or twice. He was an extraordinary person. The stories are incredible. The person is an incredible person. But Rabbi Yosef Friedlander, who is the editor of the Siddur Shvart, which is a Jewish, an Aguda publication in Yiddish, said over the following story at him and Gershon Liebman. Reb Gershon Liebman arrived in America on July 4th. Ukedarko Bakodesh, he did not have a nickel in his pocket when he got off the plane. He's coming for the yeshiva, so Kadosh Baruch Hu will provide. He gets out. There's nobody there with money for him. He asks around. He had to go to Brooklyn. He asked around if anyone's going to Brooklyn. No one says he's going to Brooklyn. One person said he's going to Manhattan. So Reb Gershon said, fine, I'll go to Manhattan. Remember, there's a good office there, and he knew Reb Yosef Friedenson. So he asked him, are you going near there? He left me off. He said, no problem. He lets him off, and he walks over the door, and it's closed. It was July 4th. He didn't realize it was an American holiday. And as he tried to open the door and it was closed, Reb Yosef Friedenson walks in and says, Gershon, what are you doing here? He said, well, I just arrived from France, and I need to get to Brooklyn. Nobody's going to Brooklyn. Someone's going here. I figured I'll borrow $50 from you or whatever it takes. I'll borrow the sum that it takes to get there, and I'll go. So he said, do you know today's July 4th, and there's no way in the world I was supposed to be here. I had forgotten a very important article, and I had no choice to come in. It was something that was, you know, chances were very, very likely you'd not have seen me. So he said, yes, but I needed the money, so you were here. So he said, so Rabbi Yashin asked him, how much does it cost to get to Brooklyn with a car, whatever? So he said, $40, whatever, $45. So he said, fine, can I have $45? So he said, well, here's $50. He says, no, I need $45. I need what the car. That's what I need now. And he wouldn't take a penny more and went off to wherever he needed to go, to Brooklyn, to his Machsania, wherever it was. But no, but for him, it was reality. Well, obviously, if the only person here is going to Manhattan, so that's where I'm going to, that's where I'm going to find what I need. I mean, you have to read the rest of the things, how he lived himself. And I know people who learned in his yeshiva. He really, really was a person in every way, in all of his anhagos and the wohanhagos. But it's something where the point of it is that the person doesn't see it as an extreme out of the anhaga, but he sees this as being the anhaga. Let's just finish off. Umneikach omer masechta beitza. Mai kichadas Hashem ma'uschem. Omer kadosh baruch hu yisrael bonai haminu bi ulevu alai v'ani pareya. Pirush b'shabes shiroi shashulchonim mole mekoil. Omer sheisbar shaminu b'isbar b'shvil shakoil b'yodai. V'maminu b'shakoil b'yodai. Lo yitilam chisaron klal. So he says, he seems to learn that it's two things. He says, "Bni haminu bi, believe in me, and then you'll have it without problems." Or ulevu alive in prayer. That's the sense I get from the way he's learning pshat. So I'll go put it, but the point is, emuna klapa kodesh baruch hu is a shinu in the person. Mitzad, the person's own tfisa of what the world is, and b'meila, it makes him a bigger kli kibul for elikus. And normally we kind of think of it as kind of a nisayan. Leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this, that, or the other thing, and we say, well, you know, that's nisayan, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, in fact, is the second part. But the way he's explaining it is, it actually is two stages. It's something which is, first of all, the emuna creates a certain kli kibul, and then the person, and then that kli kibul gets filled up. Okay, any questions?
Rabbi Lapiansky.
Yeah.
Isn't this exactly what the Chazon Ish is coming to kind of exclude when he says, emuna isn't this, because you see this thing well, that will go your way, but that will never happen again?
So, first of all, Chazon Ish himself writes that there are, you know, certain very, very big Balinese emuna actually have it that way, but the truth is, the Chazon Ish has come to mafkia that if I decide I want to have lemon, that it's good for me to have lemon pie for dessert, because we're bringing lemon pie, but the only thing a person needs, the emuna a person needs, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give me what I really need. There was a ma'isa with somebody came to Chazon Ish. He, I think, had five children, and they had one room apartment. And the Chazon Ish, and he had a chance to buy a bigger apartment, but it meant undertaking money, and wasn't sure where it would come from. And the Chazon Ish thought about it, and the Chazon Ish said, "It's the right thing to do. Do it." So, and you know, you can depend that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps. So the person said, I don't know, but I don't have any money. So he said, you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to write the check in advance? But the point of it was, if it's the right thing to do, then if this is the right hanhaga, then it'll take place. As opposed to if I think this is what I want, or I like it this way to work out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will work out that way. It's sort of, let's put it a little bit more into a practical thing. If a person is not well, Chas V'Shalom, and so to say that for sure you're going to get better is not what, that's what Chazon's point is. That's not bitachon. Bitachon is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding the process, and it's up to him. But also it means that a refuah can come as unexpectedly as the illness, and if a person has that, the more a person takes that into stride, then the more then it's shayach for it to happen. Since what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried to do is to be manik him within the world, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing something where it's only shayach to have that type of refuah if the person has kalim to be mekablet as within the realm of the possible. Okay,
and
yeah.
The ultimate Nevada cue is, I mean, the story is when you went to the doctor.
So Nevardic, the answer to that is Nevardic was at loggerheads with the Chaznish at that point. That's correct. You know, the Chaznish didn't like that type of anhaga. The Chaznish didn't like the extremeness of it, the in-your-faceness of it, the belief that you can sort of dictate to Hashem what you want. Yes, the Chaznish didn't like that element of it. But the Chaznish has a letter to somebody that Teva is one of the anhagas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and his rutzin is that be the usual anhaga. In other words, Teva is not the bounds of the world, and anything else is the extraordinary. Rather, Teva is that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wishes to be the ordinary. So when the extraordinary happens, it's not really extraordinary. It's part of the possible, but it's just one of the but it's one of the lesser used tools of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a certain sense, in terms of the picture, I don't think the Chaznish differed in terms of where to apply it and how to apply it and what to do with it. That's where the Chaznish had his issues.
Quick question, Rav Lopiansky.
Sure.
He seems to say a big chiddusha that Emunah is ready. I mean, like the Nefesh Chaim brings in mitzvahs and does an aveira, so that's weakens the
right.
And when he does a mitzvah, it's tenu oizle elokim.
Right.
Yeah, he seems to be saying the same kind of hanhaga
about Emunah. Correct. Well. Correct. Yes, he does.
I mean, that's a very strange thing, no?
Well, in a certain sense, the Emunah sets the range of what it is that can come into your scope of events. It says the mashal. Let's give an example. It says Eina bracha mitzuya bedav ela bedav asom min ha'ayin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only it gives bracha in things that are hidden, because in the open sphere of the world, things don't go contrary to what we feel is the teva. So the will HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it or not depends on schusim. But can HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it or not depends on emunah. If you don't have a kli kibble for it, then it's a nes, and it falls under the category of nes. That and nisim are extremely rare. When a person perceives it as part of it, like like if tzedava summon ayin means I don't perceive it, you know, I bring in tevua, sometimes it's 5 bushels, sometimes it's 6 bushels, sometimes it's 7 bushel, you know, it's not something that's so kavua, so the things can happen. The emunah is more the kli kibble, which path the HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to go with it and what he decides to do with it, that obviously depends on schusim and so on. Okay, so next time I think we spoke about the Nesiv HaKas, I think is the one that we picked.
Yeah, that's one.
Okay, so good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Call to bye.